My name is Mark Phillips. I'm one of the shepherds here at Southern Hills, and I want to welcome you to 2024. I hope you've had a good start to 2024, and I need to ask a question right off the bat. If you made at least one resolution for this year, would you raise your hand? Looks like some of you have just given up. Let me ask the harder question. If you made a resolution and you've already broken it, would you raise your hand? Yes, thank you for your honesty, right? That's where a lot of us are, I think. Usually New Year's resolutions, they're about the same every year, right? The same stuff. Stephen talked about it in class. I want to be, better health. I remember 20 years ago, I would ask that question in a class, and we would talk about it, and the number two every year were the same. Number one was, I want to lose weight, which I think is still a popular one. And the other one was, I want to quit smoking. And that's kind of gone by the wayside. I don't hear that one as much now because a lot of people have quit, so that's good. So even though most of us have the similar resolutions every year, there are a few people that are more creative, and they come up with some different things that they want to resolve for 2024. So let me just share three or four of those with you. This is a person who I think has kind of given up. It's important to set achievable goals. This year, I'm going to drink more and gain weight. And I think he'll succeed. I really do. This person says, I want to go the entire year without accidentally telling some random person on the phone, love you, as the call ends. Although, the scheduler for my dentist's office did seem to appreciate it. I already broke my New Year's resolution of being a nicer person, but in my defense, some of y'all are really annoying. Maybe the most honest one of all. My resolution for 2024 is to complete my resolutions for 2023. So some of us are there. Jared, by the way, our minister, made a resolution for 2024. Jared said, this year, I want to spend more time in close contact with huge crowds of complete strangers. And I have really good news for you. He's off to a good start because his family is in Florida visiting their best friends, Mickey and Minnie. And I know in your minds you're wondering, is there by chance a picture? Thank you for asking. Yes, there is a picture of Jared. The terror you see there has nothing to do with the ride. It's the fact that he is trapped at Disney World. So keep Jared in your prayers. Also, just as a side note, Stephen Corbett does a lot of stuff to help this church function. If by chance you ever wake up one morning and think, today I would like to have a picture of Jared Robinson doing something weird, Stephen will hook you up. I kid you not. I had barely finished saying, hey, if you have some time, could you send me a picture? I'm like, ding, inbox. So, Stephen, the master of making pictures of things that never actually happened. Anyway, we are looking forward to having Jared back when they are finished, and we hope he survives. The New Year's resolution thing is kind of funny because, I mean, we struggle with it, right? We make the resolutions and we work on them, and sometimes we make it for a while and sometimes we give up. But I think we do it primarily because we like to envision a future that's different from the past. We look back at the last year and we see things that worked and things that didn't work, and we think next year, I think this can be different, and specifically, I think it can be better. And so we reflect and we look forward because we think this is a chance to start over. This is a chance to begin again. Now, there's something similar to that that happens in companies. I teach in the business school at ACU, and so we talk a lot about how companies manage themselves and manage their employees. I don't know if you've ever gotten an email from your employer that started like this. Here's a typical one. It starts out, dear valued employee, and already you're feeling not terribly valued, right? We are excited to tell you that we've engaged the consulting firm of Cheatham and Belch to help us propel our firm boldly into the future. And now you're feeling uncomfortable because you've been down this road before when the consultants come in and help you get better. This firm will be guiding us through a six-month process to develop a new corporate mission and vision statement. And we are excited to have you, in capital letters, involved in this process. Meetings will begin next week. And now you're wondering if maybe next week you can maybe like fake a kidney transplant so you can just avoid the whole thing. Companies need a mission. They need some reason for existing. They need some purpose to be there. And so it's common for them to work on this. Companies also need a vision. The vision is how they picture themselves at some point down the road. And so they take the mission, which says this is what we're here to do, and the vision, which says this is how that's all going to look when we get down the road, and it can be very, very helpful. And my impression is that for a lot of companies and some churches that have done this as well, what happens is this. There's this painfully long process of meetings. There's endless discussion about exactly how to word the things that go into the mission and the vision. Finally, you reach a point where everybody is satisfied and they all agree that it's perfect and it's wonderful, and they unveil it and they put it on banners and they hang it on the wall, and the CEO gets up and talks about it, and everyone that works at the company gets a little plexiglass pyramid to put on their desk that has the mission statement in it. In the company I went to, there were people that had worked there 15 or 20 years. They had a whole shelf of these little doohickeys they'd been given over the years. And once you get the thing and you set it on your desk or your shelf, most of the time, 6 months down the road, no one in the organization could even tell you what the mission statement is or what the vision is about. I mean, the only people that seem to really come out on top in that process when it's done that way is the consultants who came in and got paid to help make this thing happen. Now, it's interesting because as a body of believers, it's important for us to understand why we're here. Last year, the elders and their wives and the ministers and their spouses got together, and we spent a weekend here talking and thinking and praying and listening to a great speaker on this topic. What should we be doing as a church? We were talking about mission and vision. And so today I want to give you kind of a sneak peek into that process and where we are today and where we hope to be later in the year. So when companies talk about a mission and a vision, they have two separate things there that they have to come up with. And I will tell you the good news is, for us, we only have to come up with one. Because the mission of the Southern Hills Church of Christ was clearly defined 2,000 years ago. Because when Jesus Christ came to earth, and this is one place he summarized it, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's like the one-sentence version. You read your New Testament, it's all through there. The church exists to help people come to Christ, have them decide to follow him, and then to walk together as we all try to be Christ in the world. That's the mission of the church. It doesn't matter which translation you want to use. It doesn't matter how you massage the words so it's perfect. That's it. It's really simple. Now, I'll just suggest to you, if you are a part of a church that doesn't feel like that's the mission statement, that's not the church of Jesus Christ. If we are ever at a point where this is not central to what we do, we are not the church of Christ anymore. This is why we exist. And so that's the mission statement. And we've all heard it and we all understand it, and it's very straightforward. Now, just before we move on, think about this for just a second. The church's mission is really simple to say, and it's almost impossibly hard to do. It's funny because we talk about goal setting in organizations, and we say you need to set some goals that you're not quite sure you can achieve. Man, the Great Commission, that's tough. That's a tough goal. But it gives us direction. It helps us know where we should be looking as we make plans to help support it. How essential is that statement of mission? Let me give you an illustration. This is the sun. Sun is out there right now. We're always happy when the sun is out. You probably take the sun for granted. It shows up for work every morning. It works all day, and then it leaves. It's like the perfect employee, right? Just so you know, the sun is really, really big, right? The sun is 1.3 million times the size of the Earth. The sun also is the thing that holds the solar system together. All the planets that spin around it, because the sun has this incredible amount of gravity. So, for example, there's this small planet right out at the edge called Pluto. I wonder if Jared will get to meet Pluto while he's at Disney World. I hope so. I really do. Pluto's this small planet. Every so often, the scientists decide maybe it's not really a planet after all. I don't know what its status is today, but it's way, way, way out there. It's over 3 billion miles out there. Sun holds it in place. The gravity of the sun holds it in orbit. Now, here's why the sun matters to us. If the sun disappeared today, a couple of really bad things would happen. Number one is the Earth and all the other planets would just like veer off into deep space. And every living thing on the planet would be dead within a month. That's it. No sun, no life on Earth, no solar system. It all just goes away. That is how essential the mission of the church is. If we do not have the mission, we have no church. All right? And so in the same way that those other things revolve around the sun, everything we do with our vision has to revolve around that core mission. And if we ever lose sight of that, we're wasting our time. So I want to give you just four things to think about today as we consider the vision that we're trying to develop for this church. Four simple concepts that you need to keep in your mind as we move through the next 9 to 12 months and head for hopefully some launch of this next fall, this coming fall. Number one, the idea of building on your strengths. Now well, let me ask you this first. Men, I want to ask the women. Men, how old were you when you finally accepted the fact that you would never play in the NFL or the NBA? 63, yes. Make that your New Year's resolution. Despite that failure, you seem to have had mostly successful lives. You've put it all together. I mean, most of us figured that out early on. Right, that's not going to happen for me. And so instead of focusing on something you physically can't do, you figured out, oh, guess what? I happen to be good at math. Or I'm really good at helping people who are having problems or whatever. And you focused on your strengths and you built a career and it's gone well for you. Right? As a church, as we go through this process, we will focus on our strengths. If we just passed out a sheet of paper and said, write down the things that Southern Hills is good at, you guys would list a handful of things, and most of you would list the same things, because you know, because we talk about them. Southern Hills is really good at a few things, and we're going to try to focus on those things. Doesn't mean we may not take on something else as well, but a lot of what you're going to hear, it's going to sound really familiar, because we're trying to work in the strengths that God has given to this church. That's the first thing. Secondly, the idea of adding capacity. Now, if you think way back to the book of Exodus and the Israelites, they're in Egypt and they have a really rotten situation because they're slaves and every day they get up and they go out and they make bricks and then they go home. And one day Pharaoh decides that's not enough and so he says you need to keep making the bricks and you keep making the same number of bricks, but now before you start making bricks, you need to go out to the field and gather up a bunch of straw, which you use to put in the bricks. In other words, we're going to maybe double your workload, but tough. You just got to do it. Now, in companies, there are basically two ways to get more work done. Number one is you can push your people to do more. I worked in a company where over the course of 2 or 3 years, they had gradually whittled down the number of people working in a particular department, and they had gradually added tasks from other places to that same department. And the people just begin to gradually fade out because they were trying to do more and more with less and less. It's really strange because if you read scripture, there actually are passages that talk about how employers treat their employees. And that's not what it describes. So as we began these discussions, the shepherds were very clear with our ministry staff that we will not expect them to start gathering their own straw to build bricks. We sometimes put it this way at ACU: we will not build a new program on the backs of existing faculty. That's what you have to recognize. We can't just do more with the same people that we have. We actually have one fewer minister on staff right now than we did a year ago. The other way that you can do more is to add capacity, right? You add more employees, you add more resources, and then you can do more. And so I will just tell you right now, up front, as we head into this process, for Southern Hills to take on significant new work for the kingdom is going to take additional paid staff, it's going to take additional volunteer staff, and it's going to take additional money. That's the reality. Scripture talks about this. It says, before you start building a building, make sure you count the costs. Otherwise, you're going to build half of it and look like a fool. I'm telling you now, we're going to bring to you a vision for the church that's going to help us focus and expand the borders of the kingdom of God, but it won't be free. That's full disclosure. So I hope you'll think about that. You know, along that line, my dad worked at Texas Tech for many, many years, and there was a pretty regular process of budget cuts there, and they would be, you know, to do more with less. And one year, somebody gave him a poster that had these two cowboys on it. They were just like skin and bones, and their belts had been pulled so tight they were hanging down around their knees. And the caption on the poster was this: "Looks like we'll just have to tighten our belts again." Okay. Now, my dad was a wise man. He did not take that to the office and put it on his wall. But for many years, that poster was in his closet at the house. And I have imagined him standing there looking at it sometimes in the morning before he went to work and just shaking his head. You can only tighten your belt so much. We're going to ask you to do more, and I hope you will consider doing more. Number three, praying and waiting. I'm sure some of you are really good at waiting. I'm not. I don't like to wait. I like things to happen. I like us to move. I like us to get going. This is the challenge that we face. When we say to you, we're working on this vision for the church, and we started last year, and we hope to bring it to you in the fall, some of you are thinking, that is really slow. That's a really slow process. Surely we can get more done. Surely we can do it faster. We probably can. We could probably sit around and say, we're going to bring it to you in 6 weeks. And we could lay out a plan and haggle over the language and, you know, get the little glass pyramids made with Jared's picture inside them and pass those out. And we could do all of that. And we'd launch the thing with great fanfare and we would jump in. And by the end of this coming year, I don't think you would even remember what it was. And so we're determined to allow time in this process, not just for us to think and talk, but for us to discern, what does God want this church to do? Who does God want this church to be? And God doesn't always just jump up and answer those questions right away. So we're determined to do this well and to do it slowly, if that's what that takes. But our hope is that we come to you 8, 9 months from now and say, this is where we think we're headed, and invite you to get on board. You'll hear bits and pieces, I'm sure, as we go, but we think it's going to take us that long to finally get it nailed down. Number four, expecting mistakes. Let me just go ahead and give you the bad news right now. We're going to get this wrong. And I know that because what I have observed is anytime you get a group of people together to try to do something, they make mistakes. That's the scourge of being human. And so there will be parts of this that we will get wrong, and parts of this that we will have to back up and adjust and try again, and maybe some parts, probably some parts, that we think this is a really great idea, and we try it, and we find out it wasn't really for us, didn't work for us, and we say, let's stop doing that. That's okay. That's the process that we're getting into. Those of you that have been here for a while, you know about Bar Church. We talk about Bar Church every year on their anniversary because it's one of those things that a lot of us are still kind of in awe of how well it's worked. If you were here when we started Bar Church, I don't know if you remember this or not, the target audience for Bar Church when we started it was very different than who it serves today. It was a totally different plan. And it's funny because we made a detailed plan for how to do Bar Church a certain way, and we made all the best decisions that we could. And I can tell you, if you take Bar Church when it started and Bar Church today, at this point, just about the only thing it has in common is the name. It has evolved and morphed and changed based on what we were trying to do and what we felt like we could do and what we should do. And I can tell you, as far as I can see, it is far more effective today in a form that we didn't design than it was initially in the form that we did. I will tell you that one thing that we did right was this. We said, let's make a hard decision that we know will be criticized from people on the outside and a few on the inside. And the goal of that is to find a way to reach people who are trying to have a relationship with God and not succeeding at it. That is the one thing we got right. And I believe when we go and try to do that, even though we're going to get the details wrong, I think God honors that. I think he helps us as we try to do what he wants us to do. And by the way, when we make mistakes over the next few years on this, we are not going to blame each other. And we are not going to criticize each other. We're going to look at each other and say, hey, what we're doing is hard. Let's keep going. So, where do we go from here? As I said, over the next few months, we're going to be sharing bits and pieces of this as we work on it. There's a lot that needs to happen so that we can get to where we want to be. But I want to close today with just two questions for you. Question number one is, as a church, where are we? Now, I shared with you last year that as a church, we actually came out of COVID stronger than we went in. We have had two or three really great years as a church. Our giving for missions has been beyond what we expected and hoped for. Southern Hills is in a really, really great place. And the question I want to ask you is this. When was the last time that we at Southern Hills looked each other in the eye and said, let's go do something hard for the kingdom of God? Let's go do something we're not sure we can do for the kingdom of God. It's been a while, but I think we're in a position to ask those kinds of questions again. And the second question I want to ask you is this. As a believer, where are you? That list of top resolutions, never on the list. The top 8, 10, 12 is a group of people saying, my goal this year is to sacrifice more for the kingdom. My goal this year is to become closer to Christ. I want to ask you to consider, in your walk, where are you? And in the same way I said to you, I think it's been a while since Southern Hills looked at each other and said, let's take on something hard for the kingdom. I think for a lot of us, it's been a while since I said, I'm going to sacrifice this to help the kingdom be what God wants it to be. I'm going to invest time and money and energy and effort and emotional energy sacrificially, so that we can become more what God wants us to be in his work. Those are the questions I want to leave you with today. And the last one is this. What will you resolve to do for the kingdom in 2024? I know we missed the first day of the year. That's the traditional day. I hope this week you will think about something that you can do in order to help us help the world. That's my challenge to you as we head into a new year and as we try to figure out who God wants us to be and who we are capable of being. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. And as we're doing that, some of our shepherds and their spouses will be at these sets of double doors in the back. They are there for whatever you need them for. If you just want to talk with someone about something in your life, that's why they will be there. If you are thinking about what you want to do in the kingdom in the future, in this year, they will be there for that. If you would like someone to pray with you for something you're dealing with in your life, they will be there for that. I would encourage you to catch one of them if there's any way that we can help you out. Thanks for being here.